This chazar is a chenish b'chichas shagam v'mihum seches varam daf mem alef. In fact, the Gemara quoted Rabbi Shmuel, who said that the word lapar in the pasuk regarding the parhalam dover refers to the parhalam dover. The Gemara asks, why would there need to be a reference to the parhalam dover in a pasuk that specifically speaks about the parhalam dover? Our Papa answered, it's because we need the parhalam dover to serve as the source to teach through a hekesh that the diaphragm and the kidneys of a chatas goat offered for the sin of avodah zarah also have to be burned on the mizbeach, just like those of the parhalam dover. Now, the halacha that the diaphragm and the kidneys of the parhalam dover must be burned is itself only learned from a hekesh from the power of the Kohen Gadol. Now, something that's learned from a hekesh cannot then teach further with a hekesh. By stating the word lapar, the pasuk makes it as if this halacha was written in regard to the parhalam dover itself, and therefore can be used to taught from there to teach further based on a hekesh. The Braisa says like our Papa, the Braisa says, why does the pasuk say lapar? In regard to the pasuk of the chatas goat, the pasuk says chatosom, which refers to the chatas goat, and shigigasom, which refers to the parhalam dover. The hekesh between them teaches that the diaphragm and the kidneys of the chatas goat have to be burned just like those of the parhalam dover. Now, how can something that itself is only known through a hekesh be taught further through a hekesh? The extra word lapar in the pasuk of parhalam dover, the Braisa, it makes it as if the halacha was written in regard to the parhalam dover itself, and it can therefore be taught further based on a hekesh. Frekmer, why does the Braisa say that there's a hekesh needed in the pasuk when the regarding parhalam dover already established a hekesh between parhalam dover and the chatas goat? And for the Gemara of Papa said, if we only had the hekesh in the pasuk of parhalam dover, we would think to limit it to the halachas regarding blood applications, which are the subject of that pasuk. The second hekesh is needed to teach that it even applies to halachas of burning the diaphragm and the kidneys. Second Gemara of Aiter, Papa stated earlier that the reference to the Yom Kippur pyre in the pasuk is not there to teach that all his blood applications are essential. Rav, the son of Rav Nosson, asked, the Tana said that the references teach that all the halachas apply to the Yom Kippur pyre, which would include the halacha that all blood applications are essential. And furthermore, it's actually a machlekes among Tanoim regarding how to learn this reference. The yeshiva of Rav learned like Rav Papa said, and the yeshiva of Yishmael learned like Rav Huna said. The yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael asked, why is it that the halacha of burning the diaphragm and the kidneys is stated explicitly regarding the power of the Kohen Gadol and not regarding the parhalam dover? Mar says it's a mashal to a king who was upset at his dear friend for an offense that he committed, but he minimized discussing this avera that was done to him so as not to embarrass him. So to Hashem minimized the discussion of the parhalam dover, which talks about the avera of Klal Yisrael. The yeshiva of Yishmael asked, why is it that regarding the power of the Kohen Gadol, the pasuk uses the words pareches hakodesh, but not regarding the parhalam dover? He says it's a mashal to the king's people who sinned against him. If it's a minority of the people, his rule remains intact. But if it's a majority, it does not. So by the parhalam dover, we don't call it pareches hakodesh. Mishnah then says, "Lefikach im nasan kulan kesiknan v'chulu." A Mishnah says, if a kohen had pigal intention during the burning of the kemitza of the mincha, but not during the burning of the levoina, or vice versa, Rav Meir says it's pigal and it has karis, and the Chacham say it's not pigal until the intent is had during the entire matter, meaning the permitter of the rest of the carbon. Rav Shlakish said, don't think that Rav Meir holds this way because he says pigal is effective when the intent is on less than all of the matir. Rather, the case of the Mishnah was where he offered the kmita with the intent and then offered the levoina in silence, or vice versa. And he holds that when one does something, he does so based on his initial intent. We can learn that this is the basis of Rav Meir based on Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if three applications were done properly and one was done improperly, it's possible, but there's no karis. This implies that if one was done improperly, presumably meaning that with pigal intent, and the rest are done properly, presumably meaning in silence, it would be full pigal. Now, whose view does this follow? It can't follow the Rabbanim because they hold that one cannot create pigal on less than the entire matter. Rather, it must follow the Rameir. If the reason of Rameir is because he holds that pigal can be created on less than the entire matter, then why is it not pigal in the first case? Rather, it must be that he holds that we follow the original intent. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said it's not a proof. Why? Because it may be that when the Mishnah says properly, it refers to a proper pigal and teaches that when there was a full pigal intent during the first three applications but not during the last, it's possible, but there is no karis because we don't say that the last one was done on the basis of the original intent. Secondly, when the Mishnah says, therefore, if he did the first three properly and one improperly, it's possible, but there's no karis. When the Mishnah says that, it's clear that properly refers to a proper application, not to a proper pigal intention, and improperly is meant to contrast that. And for the Gemara, Rava said, improperly refers to an intent for beyond its place. Properly refers to a full pigal intent of beyond its time is chutzas mana. Rav Ashi said, no, improperly refers to an intent of not lishma. In fact, this suggests that if the last one was done with no intent, there would be karis, which would mean that the Mishnah holds that we follow the original intent. After the Mishnah only said this to be symmetrical with the first part of the Mishnah that says that it's pigal and there is karis. Therefore, if it says here that it's puzzle and there's no karis, however, in truth, even if the last application was done without any intent, it would not be pigal.